Today's message is trust issues. Have you ever met anybody that had trust issues? Well, they're not here right now, but you are. So I'm going to talk to us this morning. I want to call your attention to the front of the bulletin and let you see you can worry or you can trust God. You can't do both. So there's a choice that we have to make. Now, here's the big litmus test to see if you have a trust issue or not. Have you ever heard about the white knuckle test? Some people, when they're building safety equipment and stuff, they'll do what they call the white knuckle test. That's when somebody grabs a hold of it and they get afraid or scared of something. Fear grips them. Their knuckles turn so white because they're gripping so hard that they may break it. So they test it to see if it'll survive the white knuckle test. Well, many times in life, we're gripping hold of things spiritually so strong that our spiritual knuckles turn white. And that is our test today, is to see, do you have trouble letting things go or leaving things in God's hands? That's the test right there. If you have trouble letting things go or leaving them in God's hands, then you have trust issues. And what we have to realize is that Jesus is bigger than any problem you could ever have. It doesn't matter what problem you could possibly think of or create in your mind, God's bigger than that. Jesus is bigger than that. So we need to allow ourselves to rest in the arms of Jesus. Now you think about resting in the arms of Jesus. Jesus is bigger than me, right? That's what I feel. I look at God and I look at Jesus being so much bigger. And you know, some of us are afraid of heights. So even if we're in the arms of God, if we're in the arms of Jesus and we're way up high and looking down, we kind of grip on and hold on to anything around we can. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. He's got this. He's got you. He's got your problem, your situation. But what he requires of us is trust. Now, I have seen people ride different amusement park rides. And you, man, I'm telling you, they're all about safety today. They strap you in. You couldn't jump out of the thing if you wanted to. You're so strapped in and held on tight. But you look at a person who's afraid of heights or scared of that ride, they'll be grabbing onto somebody or something, and they'll be their knuckles will be turning white because they're so afraid. In the arms of Jesus, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Relax. Rest. Trust. Trust in him. We begin our message today in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, I want to focus in on something here. Out of it, what is it? What is it in this sentence here? Your heart. He's talking about your heart. Now, this word issue, Webster defines issues as questions or problems, concerns, disputes, or a place of origin, where it all begins. In the Hebrew, this word means source. In other words, we're talking about a heart issue here. So when we see that there's a lack of trust, it's a heart issue. There's something in the heart that hadn't let go. There's something in the heart that has questions or has problems or concerns. So that's why it's so important for us to put the Word of God in our hearts. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8. My son, forget not my law, which is direction, but let your heart keep my commandments, which is instructions. That's what those two words mean. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Okay, I've underlined the word they. They what? They who? They when? Who is they? It's important for us to know who it is that's going to add long life and peace to us. They is referring to the words law and commandments. The direction and instructions that we get from God. Those are the things that's going to give us long life. Those are the things that are going to give peace. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them down upon the table of your heart. Now think about this. I've underlined let not. So sometimes we breeze through Scripture and don't pay attention to what we're reading. Let not is a direct commandment. It's talking to you and I saying, I'm responsible here. I'm the one to not let. I'm the one to not allow my heart to get in fear. This is saying, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Don't let them, and it says, bind them, mercy and truth, around your neck. Write them, mercy and truth, upon the table of your heart. Write it down. Get mercy and truth, the word of God, in you. Verse 4. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Now here's the problem. This is the area where we get into to trouble, is when we start leaning to our own understanding. You know, Job did this same thing. He started leaning to his own understanding, and of course, he had friends to help him out to bring all these questions. Well, you must have sin in your life. Well, you must have done this. Well, there's got to be a reason why all these catastrophes have happened to you. Finally, Job ends up asking God about him and starts questioning God. God turns right around and starts questioning Job and says, well, where were you when the first cow gave her calf? Where were you when this world was formed? You know, we can't lean to our own understanding in so much because there's just so much we don't know. I mean, let's face it. We think we know sometimes, but if you will really look at it, there are so many things you just don't have a clue. But guess what? God created all this. I think he knows what's going on. He's got it. So we don't lean to our own understanding because our understanding is so shallow. And even the things we think we understand, sometimes we're not correct on what we thought we understood. So it's better to leave it to God and not lean to our own understanding, but to trust him in all of our ways. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7, be not wise in our own eyes, in your own eyes. Fear, which is meaning reverence, fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your body and strength to your bones. Now, what is this referring to? It shall be health. It goes all the way back up to verse 1. When he's talking about laws and commandments, he's talking about the word of God here. And in fact, if we even back up and go back up to our previous verse we read in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 22, he tells us that it is medicine to all of our flesh. Well, it says it in verse 8. It is health to your body and strength to your bones. Do you need strong bones? I mean, that's pretty important to be able to walk, right? To be able to move around. People with weak bones, they're fragile. The word of God can strengthen, give health to your bones, to every bit of your flesh. It doesn't matter if you have osteoporosis. Where do you find that in the word of God? The word of God gives you health in your bones. So go to the word. A lack of trust is a sign of ambiguity in your mind, meaning there's some issues that are not yet settled in your heart. There's something going on that you haven't yet settled in your heart that God's got you. What do you have? Tell me what you got. Do you have health issues? He's the healer. When you have that settled in your heart that he is the healer, it don't matter what your body's telling you. He's my healer. So trust issues are out of the question here because, hey, I don't understand. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. All I know is that he's my healer. That's what I know. That's who I trust. What do you have? You have needs? He's my provider. What do you have? Do you have, do you need cleansing in your heart? He is my righteousness. He's my everything. He's there. He's got us. So when we have issues, when we have problems trusting, when there's some ambiguity in our heart, some dissidence, some struggling there of, well, I want to believe, but realize there's a trust problem and realize it comes because of what's in your heart. So we need to take what's out, the negative stuff out of our heart, and put in the Word of God because it will bring forth life. Look at Psalm chapter 37 in verses 1 through 8. Fret not yourself. Now, we're going to see this as a continual subject here in these scriptures. Three times in these groups of scriptures, he's going to tell us, fret not yourself. First thing I want you to know about fretting is this. Before we even read these scriptures, I want you to understand that fret is to constantly worry or anxious. To be anxious or to constantly worry, that is what is fretting. Or to let something eat at you or wear you down, to erode you. Or to pine. You ever met anybody that just kind of pines away? Wishing for the good old days. Wishing things were different. They're just moping around. Look at the words here. Complaining. Grumbling. Whine. Torment. Agitate. Rattle. Consume. Devour. He's saying don't do this to yourself. In other words, you're in control of this. You're in control if you allow things to eat at you. You're in the control if you allow something to devour you. You're in control if you complain or if you start grumbling. You can stop that. So he's saying, fret not. Don't do all these things. Yourself, don't allow yourself to do this because of evildoers. Neither be you envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, again, notice how it loops right back around and comes right back to your heart. So many people think, well, but if I give things over to God, then, you know, and I don't trust my heart, you know, and then I'm confused. And look, God will give you desires of your heart when you delight yourself in him. How do you do that? Get in his word. Read his word. Take it as your own. Take it as a covenant and a promise to you personally. That's mine. He's speaking to me. Now you're starting to delight yourself. Then your desires will line up with his word. Verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do you notice how trust is key here? Fretting yourself is not, but trusting him is very key. Trust him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. All right, hold up. The Holy Spirit just checked me on something. I want to back up to that scripture right there. This is very prevalent right now for us. We've been having a lot of school shootings. That bothers you, doesn't it? That upsets you. But us just getting upset doesn't fix a thing. Us worrying about our grandkids or our kids doesn't solve any issues. It's not going to fix. We can wring our hands and say, oh, that's so bad. It's so tragic. It's so terrible. Oh, those poor kids, the poor families. It's good to have compassion, but that's not going to fix it. What is going to fix it? What this word says. Rest and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. This young boy brought a wicked device to pass. He set up bombs. He used guns, you know, to destroy people. Now, we're not to fret ourselves about that. What we're to fret ourselves is over the real issue. What is the problem here? People's hearts. So if we start praying for the hearts of our children and grandchildren, if we start praying for the laborers to be sent forth into their path, that's our job. That's what you can do, and that will change the nation. Not worrying about something, not fretting about it, because he said, don't fret. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any way to do evil. Do not fret. If trust didn't require risk, it wouldn't be trust. And without trust, fear is the only possibility. It's the only choice that remains. If you're not going to trust God, then fear is going to come in somewhere. You're going to be afraid of dying. You're going to be afraid of falling. You're going to be afraid of being sick. You're going to be afraid you catch something from somebody or something, or some cold will come around. You'll always be in fear about something. I'm afraid that my money will run out. I'm afraid I won't have enough of this. I'm afraid that there's fear is the only other alternative to trust. Either you trust or you don't. When you don't, recognize it. Don't beat yourself up. Just recognize it and say, okay, I know how to fix that. Go to the Word and start reading His Word, searching out the promises, even the promises that pertain to your situation, and see what God says about you. See what God says about your situation. Let's look here at what 1 John 4:18 says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Now think about this for a minute. That's why he's telling us in the previous scriptures in Psalms, don't fret yourself, because you're only tormenting yourself. You're only going to cause torment into yourself. Fear has torment, but love does not. Fear and the anticipation of pain keep doubt alive, giving them newfound relevance. We start justifying our feelings. Well, you know, after all, I have a right to feel this way because, you know, look what happened. We start justifying. Trust issues inevitably turn into self-sabotage. We do it to ourselves, all because we don't trust in Him. Now, we see that love casts out fear. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth much or uncircumcision, but faith with works by love. See, even your faith is hindered when you don't have proper love in your heart. Proper love in your heart, the first thing you're going to do if you love somebody, you're going to trust them. If we're going to love God, we're going to have to trust God. So when we trust Him and we have that, then our faith works by our love, our trust for Him. Faith and love are connected, and fear is the thing that divides them. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I want to ask you this question. If God didn't give you the spirit of fear, then who did? Okay, I agree with you. The devil or yourself. It can come from little old you. That flesh will do that to you if you allow it to go unchecked. If you don't check it with the Word of God and say, no, wait, don't think that thought. That's not what the Bible says. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So don't be thinking that I'm going to be defeated here. So you have to put yourself in check. Put the flesh in check. And realize, I'm not going to fret myself. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to trust. So God didn't give us the spirit of fear. It either comes from one of two sources, the devil or our own flesh. But God has given us power and love and a sound mind. Isn't that good to know that you have a sound mind? Your lack of trust is held in place by the fear of being disappointed, the fear of being humiliated, or the fear of being taken advantage of. What we start doing then is we start having misconceptions and perceiving that things are this way when they're not. And our perceptions seem to overwhelm us, like, well, this may happen if I trust God, or if I don't do something, if I don't go to the doctor, if I don't get this fixed, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, then what is going to happen? We start all these perceived risks that are involved in this thing, and they get overwhelming. And what that causes? Skepticism. Stress. Skepticism. Skepticism is just a natural defense mechanism that causes us to anticipate negative things. That's all skepticism does. Just causes you to anticipate negative things. And what would happen? What's going to happen if I let down my guard, if I do trust? I remember seeing a show a long time ago about a country boy who got on an airplane, and he was nervous about flying on the airplane. And the stewardess was trying to calm him down and set him down in this, buckled him up in the seat, and got him all secure, and they took off. So she come to him down the aisle and says, "Sir, how's everything? See, all your fears, nothing to worry about." And he said, "Well, I haven't let all my weight down yet." You see, we get this notion sometimes that we don't quite, I trust God, but, you know, I'll hold just a little bit of reserve back just in case. I got this fire escape here. I got this my way out. I don't want to overload God. I mean, really? Can we really overload God? Is there anything too hard for God? No. So why do we do this? That's where that defense mechanism comes in. That's where that skepticism comes in. And so there's a tendency to think of the worst case scenario that's ever possible. Has your mind ever done that? Well, what if I trust God and he doesn't? Wow, what might happen? And boy, your mind will get this worst case scenario going on. That, oh man, things, I could do this, I could do this. Hey, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? Really, seriously, what's the worst thing? You could die. That'd be bad. Where are you going? I'm going to heaven. You can't threaten me with death. Man, I'm going to heaven. I'm not ready to go right now, but that's okay. I'm still going. I'm still on my way. So I don't let fear dictate to me. I don't let fear rule me. Let's go back and visit the scriptures from previous messages. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We're going to read this in the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance. That means the title deed or the confirmation of the things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. We have to get that in our hearts and our minds. It doesn't matter what the physical senses are picking up. I can't trust in them. They deceive me. But God cannot lie. He cannot deceive. I can trust him in all things. I can trust his word. Romans 5:5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Do you see how important it is that we have his love? Because if we don't have his love, our faith won't work without love. Faith and love are connected. So if we don't have his love in our hearts, if we don't allow his love in our heart to shine abroad, then what takes place is fear enters in. The fear of the unknown. What situation may happen? What possibility? What could take place if? Disappointment comes by losing trust and allowing doubt and unbelief to come into our thoughts. This is where the battlefield is, right here in your mind. That is your battlefield. Don't allow the enemy to defeat you in your mind. When struggles and when thoughts come that are not right, that do not line up with the Word of God, go back to the Word of God and see what it says about you. You are loved. Psalms 56, verses 9 through 12. When I cry unto you, then shall my enemies be turned back. This I know. Why do I know that? How do I know that? For God is with me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Your vows, your promises are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto you. If you have a problem that is too big for you today, then you need to start praising God. Think about that for a second. A problem that's too big for you is a perfect opportunity to praise God. Because you know if you can't handle it, he can. And I don't have to worry about it. In fact, it's better in his hands than in mine. Have you ever tried to solve a problem yourself and it backfire on you? Oh boy, I don't have enough hands to lift up for that one. Because numerous times, I think I know just what to do. I think I know just how to fix it. But rather than trusting God, I'll just go ahead and boy, I make a mess of things and make it worse sometimes. But trusting God is your perfect opportunity. When you see a problem, trials and tribulations are going to come. Jesus told us that. But you know what else he told us? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You're not alone. Be of good cheer. You don't have to do it. Rest and trust in him. That's where we need. Check your heart today. See if there's some trust issues. Is there some ambiguity? Is there some concerns there that you haven't quite turned into the hands of the Lord? Is there something lacking that you need to trust him more on? And let go. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans. I thank you that we are not left alone in this world to have to fend for ourselves. I thank you that you are our provider, our only provider. We don't look to another for provision. You are him. You are it. You are all we need. And we trust in you. It is a decision that we make, that we determine. And anytime we are weak, Father, I ask that you take the Holy Spirit and quicken our hearts to help us to read the Word, to get our nose in the book, to understand the promises that cannot lie that you have supplied for us. We thank you for your great and precious promises. In the name of Jesus, amen.